We're joined on the line this morning by gynecologic oncologist. We have with us Dr. Elena Ratner, and also we have with us Shantana May Hazel, women's health advocate, founder of Sister Girl. It's a nonprofit providing awareness, education, support, and advocacy to women with endometriosis, breast, and ovarian cancers. Our focus kind of on ovarian cancer this morning. Doctor, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Great. And also, Shantana, we'll be speaking, got great information from you coming up as well. But first of all, let's talk about, I guess, ovarian cancer. What are the biggest obstacles that women face when assessing the risk of ovarian cancer?
So ovarian cancer continues to be so, so deadly, and it is unacceptable. And it is so deadly because, unfortunately, the signs and symptoms of this cancer are so vague. The great majority of these cancers are diagnosed at a very late stage. And that truly makes a difference between life and death. So much importance has to be paid to the early diagnosis of ovarian cancer because that can save a lot of lives.
What are the treatments for early diagnosis? What are the symptoms? What it is that you would sort of think, okay, I need to see whether I have this or not?
That's right. So, you know, the ovarian cancer used to be known as a cancer that whispers. We actually now do not think that's any longer the case. We now think that ovarian cancer is not whispering. It's just that nobody's listening. The symptoms of ovarian cancer are so vague. Bloating, some bowel symptoms, some bladder symptoms, some weight gain, clothes not fitting well. The trouble is that so many women around menopause and perimenopause experience those symptoms normally. The difference between the ones that actually are cancer and those that are not is that the symptoms that are something to be paid attention to happen every single day for 2 to 3 weeks. And that's why, again, education is so important so women and providers don't chuck it up just normal hormones.
Shantana, if I could bring you in on this conversation a bit, a little talking about also disparity with women of color related to diagnosis. What's that all about?
Good morning. Thank you again for having me. I didn't say that in the beginning, but thank you so much. I'm very thankful to be here. Well, the disparities in women right now, in black women, it's social economics, the status, poor access plays a pivotal part and a big role in black women not receiving equal health care when it comes to being diagnosed. And so some of those disparities comes in where we can use our voices and we can see how we're feeling and what we're going through and be a part of our care plans with our doctors, such as Dr. Ratner. She's one of those doctors that invites patients to come in and talk about what's going on with them and be a part of that care plan. And that's so important to have today.
Now, you have this nonprofit that you founded as well. What's been your experience and how have you become somewhat of an advocate for this?
Well, I became an advocate because I battled with endometriosis for over 30 years. And so over 10 years being an advocate, wanting women to understand that they know their body very well and that it's okay to use your voice and be a part of your care plan and actually say, this is what I need, and show your physician how you need those things. Because I went through 14 years of delayed diagnosis, and no woman should have to go through that ever. And so I felt like I didn't want any other woman to go through those things that I did. I went to countless doctors before I got to someone like Dr. Ratner, who actually listened to my concerns and made me feel like my voice mattered when it came to my health care. And so this is why I tell women, and I wanted to say, I see you, and you deserve excellent health care, just like every other woman in the world. And so I wanted to just be that support because I got that from my family and my friends and my community. So I wanted other women to have that level of support and understanding and education. And as Dr. Ratner said, awareness. A lot of times we don't speak enough about awareness, and so that's very important to have that piece a part of it as well.
Are there any other things that can be done to reduce those racial disparities?
Absolutely. And it plays a part with your physician as well as the patient and working together. And there's resources that sometimes we may not know about, but our physician may know about these resources. And so if we have that level of understanding, building those rapports, and just actually knowing that these things exist for us, that we don't have these outlets. And so if we kind of work on it together like we're doing now, having this interview with you, bringing more awareness, talking about it more, bringing it to the forefront, letting people know that this is an issue. And anytime there's an issue, any way to resolve it is coming together. And so if we continue to do this, we will definitely combat the disparities in black women when it comes to being diagnosed with ovarian cancer, being tested in general.
We were talking this morning about early detection in ovarian cancer. Some high praise from your patient there, Dr. Ratner. Can you explain a little bit about how you're, I guess, able to be one of those advocates yourself as a doctor? Did it come over time? Did you kind of from experience? Or are you that type of a person who's more curious and really wants to know what's going on with the patient?
Well, you know, we need to level the field. I could not agree more with everything Shantana says. You know, and there's tangible things that we can do to make things better. You know, ovarian cancer is awful. It's awful for all women, but it's particularly difficult and deadly for women of color. So we got to do everything it takes to level the field and improve the care. And we can do it with tangible things. You know, we know that Black women don't get surgeries done by the correct surgeon. We know that the testing that is used to try to treat to find ovarian cancer early is even worse for Black women than it is for Caucasian women. That is what we are doing, and this is why so much research is needed to try to understand how is the testing, how can the testing be improved, how can it be more effective for Black women, how can surgeries be better, how can the treatment be better, and it's doable. We just all need to be dedicated and pay attention and really do all it takes to improve the lives of all women, and especially in this case, Black women.
Where can people find out more information or just be prepared to understand maybe what questions to ask or if they have a loved one in their family, females, obviously, that are maybe they should be concerned about? Where's a good place to get some details?
You know, there's a lot of websites and there's a lot of information available online. Aspire, a women's health company, is somebody who's doing a lot of research, especially in this area. They're doing a lot of trials on tangible blood testing that is better for Black women than it is a standard test that we're using now. So AspireWH.com is what I would recommend to look at symptoms and signs of ovarian cancer, to see what's available, and also to see what is being done about this racial disparity.
We appreciate both of your time this morning, Dr. Ratner, also Shantana. Thank you for sharing your story, and hopefully we got some good information out there and people know to be their own advocate. And if they're not getting the right answer somewhere, keep knocking on the door until they get the answer that they really need. Thank you both for your time.